Okay, so at this time, all right, in the back, quiet please, thank you. At this time, I will ask for staff to provide any closing remarks, comments, which will be followed by our executive officer, Mr. Robertson, and counsel for any additional comments and inputs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Christopher Rose with the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program. We recommend that the board approve the proposed order, Ag Order 3.0, which is R3-2017-0002, and associated monitoring and reporting programs for Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 ranches. We would like to just restate one more time that with respect to the monitoring and reporting programs, that the executive officer has the authority to change those monitoring and reporting programs if necessary during the term of Ag Order 3.0. And with that, I'll turn it over to the executive officer, John Robertson.
Thank you, Chris. So I just kind of from an overview perspective, I want to say that Ag Order 3.0 is a step forward. Despite what's been characterized a little bit in the comments, it clearly is a step forward. It fits with the time that was allotted for it. As you've heard in detail, for some it's not enough, and for some it's far too much. We think it's about right for the time allotted. Speaking of specific changes, the TNA reporting requirement expansion, the significance of this is that the reporting of data makes those who have to report the data aware of the data, and that's huge for a cultural shift that we need to have happen with respect to nutrient loading. It also allows staff a window in to nitrogen loading, and that allows us to implement our strategy of follow-up with those who apply nutrients. So it's critical in this, and therein a step forward. Another significant change is the addition of neonicotinoids, and we've talked a little bit about that today specifically. That change is supported by field data. It's also supported by increased pesticide usage and increased pesticide sales for this class of pesticide. I want to acknowledge lastly that there's areas where our irrigated lands program needs to continue to evolve, and we've talked about that a little bit too. And we're going to talk about that a lot more going forward. Just merely approving 3.0 and starting to implement 3.0 isn't nearly enough for us. It was stated that perhaps if we won one of the outstanding cases, we would take our foot off the gas. That won't be the case. So I want to reassure the board and those in the audience and the stakeholders that even after 3.0 is approved, we will be back to the board. We will be back to work on 4.0 almost immediately, not quite. We have a little bit more work to do associated with 3.0, but we'll get our heads together collectively in the office, and then we will come back to the board and present our plan for the development of 4.0 in the not too distant future. We're gonna get moving very fast on this. With that, I'd also like to propose a few changes. I will defer to Lori for that.
We have some copies of these printed out for the members of the audience. There's some behind me. If they'd like to see them, we can put them up on the projector if we need to make any changes or if there aren't enough copies. The first change is on page 7 of attachment.
Could we display it on, sure, on our screens and on the big screen? Thank you. Sorry.
The first change is to add a footnote on page 7. The finding talks about information in our files, and this footnote just clarifies what that information is. The footnote's in finding 24, but in the following paragraph, there's also reference to information in its records, and it's that same information. There are also changes to the anti-degradation findings, primarily the BPTC findings on pages 8 through 10, just to reflect, as John said, where we are in this order. It's an interim renewal because the order's expiring, not necessarily because the board is at a logical stopping point in the program. We can go through those one by one if you'd like, or we could hold off on that. The findings that are being proposed assume that the board will issue the order as staff proposed it. If you are going to make significant changes to the order, that may also require changes to these findings. So whatever the board's pleasure in terms of how we go through these.
I would suggest to hear, you know, any proposed changes from my colleagues, and then we can then make a determination after that on how to proceed with this one. So I will start on my left. John?
Sorry about that. I don't have proposed changes. I have some overall comments on the order. Is this the appropriate time for that, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, and this way, you know, I will progressively move from my left to my right. Yes.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank all the stakeholders who have commented during this process and in the last couple of days. I know that I personally have learned a lot that's going to help guide my input going forward, and I've been really impressed by the seriousness and commitment to engagement that I've seen really from folks who are on all sides of these issues. I also want to emphasize up front that I've really been impressed by the work that staff and the Irrigated Lands Program have done in the last 5 years. They've turned many relationships around in that time. We've seen and we've heard from the ag industry, from the environmental and environmental justice advocates about the tremendous efforts that have been made by staff to be accessible to and responsive to stakeholders. They've done huge amounts of work to help 4,000 farmers completely change the way that they track nitrogen use on their farms and integrate them into a reporting system that allows us the potential to meaningfully regulate them, including working with farmers who don't have computers or don't speak English, engaging in a constant process of changing the reporting systems to be more user-friendly, developing their own capacity to extract meaningful information from the mountain of incoming data, tracking down non-filers, all while working on 3.0 and looking forward to 4.0. At the same time, they've been heavily engaged in working with the EJ community on getting more resources to them and amplifying their voices, on identifying contaminated water systems and getting replacement water to them. And despite the variety of lawsuits and petitions that are ongoing and I'm sure will flow from our action today, I believe that staff has succeeded in the last 5 years in developing significantly broader, more transparent, and more cooperative relationships with all of the various and at times conflicting stakeholder interests that are represented here today. I honestly don't think we could have asked more of our staff than they've given us during the term of 2.0. When I first came onto this board in November of 2011, along with my colleague Mayor Delgado, the ag waiver renewal had been underway for 4 years and was stalled due to lack of a quorum. The period between then and the passage of the waiver in March 2012 was for me really intense, really chaotic, and frankly, almost immediately once we passed the waiver, I found myself wishing for the opportunity for a do-over. You know, now we're, I think, going to pass a new iteration of the waiver. And in some ways, I find myself feeling the same way even before voting, I have to say. As Mr. Schimmick pointed out yesterday, this waiver is ultimately and overwhelmingly the responsibility of this board. That's what we're appointed to do. This interim 3.0 waiver is not the one I would wish to be voting on. I agree with advocates from all sides that it would be preferable in many ways to have a new waiver that addresses the question of discharges by agriculture in clearer, simpler, and more effective ways. That's not what's before us. What's before us is an interim waiver. But as even the environmental advocates who were here before us yesterday acknowledged, we really have little choice at this point. And while I would prefer to be voting on an entirely new waiver, I intend to vote for this waiver today. Even if it were practical to make fundamental last-minute changes to this waiver, which I don't believe that it is, we would then be left with a new comment period and no waiver in effect. Our staff would be overrun by 4,000 farm workers seeking individual discharge permits, so they weren't liable for discharges to the waters of the state. And as even the environmental advocates confirmed for us yesterday, that would only delay further the processes of slowing and ultimately stopping the nitrate pollution of our groundwater and dealing with the pesticide issues in our surface water. I want to be clear. These misgivings are not something that I lay on staff. I think they've done an exceptional job over the last 5 years. You know, we can point to the fact that we've had three executive officers and an interim executive officer during the term of this waiver, but I really don't think that absolves us as a board of responsibility. When we first delayed work on the waiver renewal due to legal uncertainties in January of 2015, I, for one, anticipated that we could simply extend the waiver for a year or so while we developed a new one, as had been done in the past, and was frankly unaware that after the passage of 2.0, that had been ruled to be legally non-permissible. In retrospect, I wish that we as a board had questioned at the time what this meant for our schedule of passage and what our fallback plan was. By the time that we had hired our current EO just under a year ago, it was really too late to do a whole new plan, and we were really on a path to today. But we are where we are today as a result of our decisions as a board, and we have to move forward. As for the argument that we could have directed staff to put that new approach together in a matter of months rather than directing them to work on 3.0, I don't buy it. You know, it may be true that the LA ag waiver was completed in 6 months. I'm not that familiar with it. I do know the principal river system it deals with, the Ventura River, is 34 miles long from the ocean to the headwaters of Matalija Creek, its most significant tributary, has a 226-square-mile basin, while the Pajaro, Santa Maria, and Salinas Rivers, our main agricultural watersheds, total 450 miles in length and have over 7,000 square miles of basin between them. And our waiver, even in its current form, deals far more extensively with nitrate and groundwater than the LA waiver. Our situation's just not that simple. I also don't think it would have been an appropriate exercise of our responsibility to let a stayed lower court decision in a case which is on appeal decide the terms of our waiver renewal. There are some things I'm really pleased with in this waiver. Despite the fact that some have described it as nothing but monitoring, I think greatly increasing the number of farmers who are required to provide and therefore to make and to look at nitrogen management plans will have real and concrete impact on the quantity of nitrogen going down towards the aquifer. This is a big step in our iterative process. Stepping up the frequency of monitoring drinking water wells is absolutely necessary, particularly as there's no longer a question about the public availability of those results and notifications. Including neonicotinoids and pyrethroids in our monitoring is something that, while it does not thrill the agricultural industry, and in some ways is not as good as overall forensic toxicity testing, needed to happen in this interim order. Although despite Mr. Schmidt's desire for certainty of costs in 2018 and 2019, I would urge staff and the executive officer to carefully review the results of the first rounds of testing, and if the results are non-detect in the region or in some watersheds, to consider revising MRP requirements for the second year of monitoring. Without getting into an inappropriate discussion of 4.0, I can say what I would have liked to have seen in this order had we, the board, handled things in such a way that there was adequate time to develop a new approach. We need a different way to handle interim replacement water. This problem's not going away. Even if the mechanisms existed today to absolutely stop any new loading of nitrogen below the root zone, it would be decades. I've heard numbers like 50 or 100 years before the levels in the various aquifers fall below the MTLs. While our EO assured the environmental justice advocates yesterday that we get into the weeds down to the level of whether a recipient of replacement water is elderly enough that 5-gallon bottles would be inappropriate, I note that in the EO report we're going to hear tomorrow, we have a region-wide goal of working on 7 replacement water cases this year. This reflects our limited resources and the intensive nature of this work. Frankly, our system is better suited to deal with large pollution cases like the Olin perchlorate plume in Morgan Hill, which originally stretched for 10 miles and polluted 188 domestic wells, rather than individual wells and water systems covering handfuls of households. I'm not sure how much of this we do in 4.0 and how much is done through other mechanisms, but we need a more effective way to deal with this, either through our own resources or by dealing with partner agencies, ag and EJ stakeholders, et cetera. And, of course, we need to figure out how it will be funded. While expanding nitrogen reporting is a big step, we need to figure out how to move towards actual regulation, perhaps based on some version of the nitrogen ratio, as suggested by Mr. Zielinski yesterday. And it needs to be done in a way that's as simple and directed as possible to avoid putting more burden on ag operators than is necessary to accomplish the tasks at hand. I agree with the advocates who have said that we need to take an approach that does not leave us constantly chasing the newest pesticide du jour, although I'm myself not clear on the way to do this. As suggested by both Ms. Mercer and Mr. Schimmick in their written comments, we should seriously consider forensic toxicity testing, where we identify insecticide pollutants, pesticide pollutants, and work up the watershed to find the sources so that we can actually regulate them. I believe this is something which we attempted to have the Surface Water Monitoring Coalition do early on and which they refused to do in the past, but we should explore our ability to make it, I wasn't here then. I see head shaking in the back. But we should explore our ability to make it happen if we want to solve the question of pesticide pollution in surface waters. I absolutely agree with the ag advocates who have spoken about the advantages of working with coalitions. Ms. Mercer, for example, suggested that rather than doing a hopscotch system of requiring some growers and not others to do buffer zone plans, it'd be more appropriate to do on a sub-watershed basis. I'm seeing this sub-watershed approach's usefulness in our stormwater work. I think it makes sense in many of the areas of what we're trying to do in ag. I also think there may be a role for coalitions to play in assisting smaller farmers with techniques that are currently only really practical for big farms, such as the ongoing soil sampling for nitrogen to guide applications that Mr. Costa referenced on the operation he works. Makes sense, but I would caution that this will require the farmers to be willing to work together, something that's not always easy to do. Finally, I know that staff is eager to work forward on the work of 4.0. It'll be a lot of work to develop a whole new set of approaches, a lot of work inside staff, work with stakeholders, a lot of work for us, the board, as well. I just want to express in the strongest terms possible my hope that this can be accomplished in less than the 3-year term of this agreement, and to remind everyone that when the board agreed to do a 3-year ag waiver 3.0, we were setting 3 years as the maximum term, not necessarily the most desirable one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. John. Mayor Delgado?
Thank you. I think 1.0 in 2005 was based on education, more education heavy. And 2.0 that we passed in 2012 was monitoring heavy with implementation of management practices, getting a larger focus. 3.0 that we're talking about today is an interim placeholder with some increased monitoring and continued management practices. And I expect that 4.0 will be a combination of education, monitoring, continued implementation of management practices with the addition of more specific best practical treatments or controls and metrics such as some kind of ratio or other measurable additions that can better satisfy the anti-dig and non-point source policies that we have. And specifically to the changes that we're asked to suggest, our legal counsel, Lori Okin, suggested a footnote for finding number 24 to give some guts to the statement that there is information in our records regarding the assessment of high-quality waters. So I agree that finding 24 in the additional findings should have that footnote. And Lori mentioned in passing that finding number 25 had the same reference to
information in our records. And so I suggest that finding 25 gets that footnote placed after the sentence that ends Central Coast region with various pollutants, including but not limited to pesticides, toxicity, nitrate, and salts, footnote 1. So just treat those two findings, 24 and 25, the same, since in my opinion they have the same small problem of being vague, referencing information in our records but not specifically saying what it is, and that's what the footnote does. So findings 24 and 25, I hope, just get the same treatment. And I looked over briefly. Lori suggested additions to finding number 26, 27, 28, 30, and 30, and they seem fine to me because they give more detail to the best practical treatment or control relation to our anti-dig policy. The fourth and only other change that I would like to see is in additional finding 85 that talks a lot about the Granite Canyon study but doesn't cite it. And we heard from staff earlier today that that is an in-review unpublished study. In the comments, I think it was Abby Silva Taylor. I think it was Abby who said that there should be a citation if we're going to have a finding about a study. So it's a small matter requesting a citation that staff can produce for finding 85. And those are the only changes that I have suggested. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Delgado.
I don't have any changes. I just want to acknowledge, all of the stakeholders in the process, as well as the tremendous work that staff has put forward. Clearly, this is an interim step, and we have somewhat of an imperfect process in terms of getting to where we are. But I think in moving forward, I look forward to working with everybody as on the 4.0, and I think we can't underestimate the dialogue that that has propelled us forward. I sat on the sidelines of the last ag order, wasn't involved personally, but it was not a good process. And so I think there have been a tremendous strides forward, both from the staff side and from the stakeholder side, and I really applaud everyone in that process. And I've learned a tremendous amount, and just want to thank everybody for all their hard work, their expertise, and their knowledge as it comes to bear on the process. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gray. Mr. Young?
I just want to thank Mr. Delgado and Mr. Johnston for providing some comments that I think are, right on point. I agree with just about everything that they've said. And, we're here with 3.0, and we're being forced to have 3.0 in front of us. It's not by choice. It's by operation of law that we have to do something. And it's clearly an incremental step forward. And it certainly does not contain everything that I think we would like it to contain at this point in time. But we've got a very challenging situation in terms of knowing exactly what to do and how to do it in the most appropriate fashion. And we are trying to best get to what those we're trying to best get our hands around what processes we need to apply to get to our end goals. And with that, I'm thinking about what we're going to be doing with 4.0, which is really kind of where we should be at this point in time, is being within that three-year period with 4.0 in front of us and having kind of all of this information, I think, better vetted and analyzed and discussed so that we know what to do. I'm appreciative of really everything that has been said. I think staff has done a good job. And, both the environmental side to this issue and the ag side to this issue, everyone has provided great discourse, and I just wish, on a national level, we had the same kind of sharing of information and kind of a respect of opinions. I just want staff to know that 4.0 needs to come back to us, you know, well before three. I mean, as soon as you can get it back to us, the three-year mark was a outside deadline. And I think that I've heard enough from what Ag has been telling us over the last, you know, day and a half, that I think you're going to need to be very thoughtful in your analysis of even the data that you have in front of you, how to interpret that data, and how to then take that data and extrapolate what you want to do with it in terms of making any requirements, in terms of best management practices or end goals. And I think we've got to get to those to be compliant with achieving water quality standards. But I think the real challenge is going to be in understanding what we require, and to make sure that what we require is really going to get us to where we want to go, and not just spinning a bunch of wheels or causing a lot of unnecessary expense to be incurred by Ag. So do everything that you can to listen to both sides of this, because they both provide different sides of this coin. And I mean, I look forward to moving forward with this and seeing how this develops. I'd like to see this initial come back to the board, if at all possible, Mr. Chair, by the end of the year. It sounded like staff was saying they were going to get back to us, because 3 years is going to happen just like that. And so I really want to know what staff's calendar is like on this. And I'm hopeful that we could have almost like a scoping session, you know, with the board, so that when we hear what you've got in mind, I think you need to hear what we have in mind after having heard a lot, not just between today and yesterday, but kind of over the past few years, in terms of how does 4.0, what is it going to look like? Is it a waiver? Is it a WDR? Are we going to have tiers? How are we going to focus on truly trying to protect beneficial uses? And maybe we need some different strategies and approaches in trying to do that. That builds on the information that we have, but maybe becomes a little more laser-focused in our approach. So great challenge for all of us to get to where we want to all be at some point in time. Thank you.
And Mr. Robertson, thank you. One or two.
Well, I just want to interject that my own oversight was there was one other change I failed to mention. It was brought up in comments that it should be explicit, and it is not, that the notification letters and then the responses coming back should be written. We will include that change. They will be written. Very simple change there. That's in the...
Okay.
Angela, that's in the MRP, right?
That's correct. It's in all the MRPs, and it's part of the groundwater monitoring and reporting in Part 2. And specifically for the Tier 1 MRP, which is Attachment 3, it's on page 9, and I can just read it very quickly. Number 6 says, for domestic wells on a discharger's farm or ranch that exceed 10 milligrams per liter nitrate as N, the discharger must provide written notification to the users within 10 days of learning of the exceedance and provide confirmation of the notification to the Central Coast Water Board. So it would be revised to say in the last end of that sentence, provide written confirmation of the notification to the Central Coast Water Board. So they must already provide written notification to the users. This just affirms that we also intend the response back to us. Confirming that is also in writing.
Okay. Very good. Dr. Hunter?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Johnston, for such a comprehensive perspective that I know we all share, and pointing out the many different dimensions and challenges that we have. Of course, goes without saying, we have heard from so many of the stakeholders that the staff efforts, those that are working on the irrigated land program, as well as other programs that touch on the ag community. We've heard repeatedly in recent times that this process has been effective in that they feel heard. They feel that the integrity of the process has been maintained, and that is something that we expect, but we don't always hit the mark. And I think that has been very important to me and very encouraging to me, because I think that sentiment is authentic, and I think it allows for authentic engagement, that people feel that their time is worthwhile in meeting with staff in as we roll through various stages, various phases of moving to an order. I particularly, I do agree that the increased level of monitoring and reporting, both in expanding the number of growers as well as in adding and removing pollutants that reflect the trends that we are seeing now, those are things that we're prepared to do and we feel are valid changes. On the other hand, there are things that are still ahead of us that we're not as certain about, and I am supportive of staff in being more conservative, so that our staff time is measured, and the last thing we want to do is to spend effort in direction of defending what we've done versus proactive moving forward with the various goals and certainly attaining best management practices in every way possible. I also think that the order is consistent with the discussions that have occurred over the last year in particular, but over the last several years, and that is a reflection of 2.0. We made a commitment as a board. I was on the board at the time. We made a commitment to the ag community that we would not simply move the order out and then wait 2 years or 3 years to hear. I recall that we asked for regular updates, and we provided frequent over the 2.0 period, we provided frequent opportunity to focus on different aspects of the order, what was working, what was not working. And I think that was very beneficial to board members to have the opportunity to reflect on the particulars, the conditions of monitoring, reporting, and particularly the initial startup in which we had to extend deadlines, in which we had to work with growers to allow them to develop their own process for to their best efforts to report accurately what the data that we were trying to gather from them. So this was a very, an iterative process in many ways. I think at this point, I agree with my colleagues. It would be nice if we were further along, but I think in regards to anti-degradation policy, I think I'm satisfied that we pushed this order as far as we can to that line that reflects what we know, and but also allows for the work that we know we need to do to be on firm ground. And so I think that given the status of research and data collection that's already underway, I know staff has already initiated work to better inform what our policy will be, and that reflects what is what we know and what the conditions are in the Central Coast region. We are lucky in that we have very few point source pollution industries to regulate. But on the other hand, non-point source is a huge, huge challenge for us. And so we've struggled with this in many ways. In particular, this has fallen on the ag order. I do want to comment on our efforts to recognize the right to human water, to human right to safe drinking water. The affordability issue, as I heard, is another dimension of it that is happening with our sister agencies. But in particular, our concern is water quality and our ability, any tools that we have, any process that we can engage in to eliminate the consumption of contaminated water for the residents of our region, but in also setting a model for a process that will support this effort statewide. And I know that Region 3 has been recognized by State Board, and our staff has helped to provide lessons learned from our experiences and also in supporting us in funding particular exploration of solutions and remedies for very, very challenging, disadvantaged communities that have very few options, if any options, to solve this problem. I have a heavy heart when I think about that part of it. And I appreciate Ms. Denham's candid comments about the notion that we have people drinking contaminated water in our region, in our state, and this it's not acceptable, and that we all accept that the work in that regard has to continue. It is urgent, and it is it's going to require many different ways, many different kinds of resources, many different people, the diversity of issues and areas of expertise and technologies. I'm still waiting for Silicon Valley to show up, frankly. I don't know why they're not here. But I cannot underestimate or understate the goodwill that I feel from this effort. This is a small group compared to hearings we've had on this issue in the past. But I do believe that we have the commitment of stakeholders in the diverse issues that we're facing that this order touches upon, and that in this diversity, we all have something very, very critical to offer to the discussion, to the consideration, and to the pace of the process that we are responsible for pushing forward. And I respect highly everyone in this room that has contributed to that. Likewise, my fellow board members, I feel, have given staff the support they need and have opened up new opportunities, new methods, new ways to engage and to put our heads together as well as our hearts. I know the dedication of this effort is evident in using to the best that we can the framework of these orders to move us forward in a productive, efficient, effective way. Let's consider that we have a number of actions going on in outside of our authority under court legal proceedings. These are difficult, take a lot of time, and frankly slow the process down. It's part of the process, however. And so I hope that all will agree that we're doing our best to accommodate that dimension of this work as well. So with that, I would just say I think that the suggested changes for attachment A reflects the clarity that came out of this hearing. So I certainly support those changes, and I do not believe that any other changes, with the exception of those noted by Mr. Robertson, that this order should be moved forward as presented by staff. That's my feeling. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter. Ms. Cervantes.
I just wanted to, again, echo many of the same sentiments here in appreciation of all of you who have dedicated your time to educating me a lot better and about these issues and the complexity involved in trying to develop possible solutions that get us that much closer towards our water quality goals in the region. I do think, you know, just to also echo much of what I've heard around our role and the role that education has in terms of our policy development and ultimately the long-term behavioral change of practices we hope to see in the region, I do think it's important to continue to look for those opportunities that the process of developing 3.0, what all of those opportunities were, and of course, moving forward to 4.0, what those opportunities might be. And in terms of education, I do think it's important that we still continue to engage in this process of data collection, being very systematic, very thoughtful about the direction in which we move and in the direction in which we're asking you to move with some of the data collection. But I also want to state that it's important to also not just always focus on what we're teaching growers in terms of, you know, engagement through this process, but also what we ourselves can learn from the growers in terms of the complexities and what we're attempting to do and attempting to develop. Because I do think, you know, it's much more complex than any of us here who aren't growers could ever possibly understand, no matter how long we've been on this board. So I do think that, you know, that moving forward and having opportunities for workshops is going to be important and critical for the development of 4.0. And I also think the affordability issue, I do bring this up on a number of occasions. I do think, you know, understanding the actual cost to providing clean drinking water or improving our water quality in this area is important to understand. I mean, it's definitely connected to the human right to water and how we're better to, how we increase access to clean drinking water for our disadvantaged communities. But all of this is part of getting us the ability to be able to do that. So understanding what the actual cost of water is and being able to, what the actual cost of even changing regulations are, I do think that we have a lot more to go in terms of being able to understand that. And I think for myself, too, is understanding the contributions of agriculture. Of course, we hear it in terms of being able to provide safe and also healthy food to our region, our nation, our world are important. But I also want to seek to understand further those opportunities, because I know that in agriculture, many farm workers do and are able to also grow into the roles of owners themselves of farms. And so I do worry with these changing regulations about those small farmers, those farmers that aren't from families of growers, and trying to understand what these impact of these new regulations are on them as well, because I do know that they are barriers to continuing to grow their operations and are barriers to continuing to provide similar opportunities to other people and farm workers in agriculture. So I do think moving forward, you know, any opportunities that you have to highlight those instances of what the impact is in terms of family farms no longer being able to do what they do, I think I would benefit hugely from in terms of trying to understand what the impact is of what we're doing here.
Thank you. And, you know, myself, My observations are that 3.0 is progress from 2.0, and 3.0 is working progress toward 4.0. And I think we need to look at it this way. It's not a finished product. It's a new beginning. Also, looking back at 2.0 versus 3.0, I think we have made significant improvements in our efforts toward outreach and workshops, and not only with the agriculture community, but also with various environmental groups. I know there's been meetings, efforts conducted with DPR, with CDFA, with State Board. So the way we approached 3.0 this time, I think, was a significantly better approach and more efforts. And I think because of that, we have a different level of collaboration that I have seen in this room. And in fact, Mr. Young alluded to that, and I made myself a couple of notes. I felt that it was a very impressive level of civility and mutual respect that all of you have shown, because I've attended, the 2.0s. Those meetings were not pleasant, and there was tension in the room. This time, yes, on all sides you may not agree with each other, but it was done with great respect. So I really, really want to thank all of you for that. Also, certainly I think staff has put a tremendous amount of effort and there's a lot of behind-the-scene work that takes place. There's also been efforts by our executive officer to increase the resources to work on this order, and in anticipation of 4.0, from our organizational standpoint, we are also increasing the amount of staff support in order to be able to work diligently in making measurable progress. And as Mr. Robertson has committed, you will see a roadmap with milestones, so you will know that we're making progress. I also want to thank my fellow board members because, this 3.0 has taken quite a bit of time. Attending workshops and also educating themselves with the information. I thank you for your good work. And I see, farming, when we talked about best management practice, one term that I personally prefer is adaptive management practice, because as indicated earlier, one of the challenges that farmers have is that there is no such thing as the norm. Things are constantly changing. In fact, I had a fellow farmer said one time, Jean-Pierre, if it was that easy, everybody would be farmers. And, sometimes, you can have a public who have these romantic views of farmers. You're driving your tractor, you're getting up early in the morning, and life is beautiful. Yeah, it's a choice of lifestyle. But it's a personal choice you make. But it's hard work, and you deal with a lot of variables. So the reason I emphasize adaptive is as we move forward with 4.0, in looking at our tendency, human tendency is to put things in tidy little boxes with a pretty bow, and then we feel, okay, I get this figured out. Well, it's not an exact science. And my colleague, Dr. Hunter, was saying, well, we need the Silicon Valley here. Yeah, but we need, a little bit of that maybe, but the farmers have a lot of the answers. And I think the effort here with 4.0 will be to provide incentives to make these improvements, raising the bar and adaptive changes. That's going to be some of a challenge. So it's not all exclusively based on, you know, I guess I will characterize perhaps not in a very positive light, but not using the stick, but having the carrot, you know, say, okay, if you do X, Y, Z, you know, these are going to be some of the benefits. And I know that Mr. Robertson, you know, is a progressive thinker in those areas, and we have had some, at this stage, intellectual conversations about, you know, trying to provide more incentives. So, likewise, this is not the ultimate document. It's work in progress. And myself, I'm comfortable at this time with the proposed changes. So what I'd like to do is to make sure we have staff has memorialized those changes so that when we vote, can make a reference and you can recite, you know, those specific changes. Because I took a few scribbles, but I didn't write exactly which page and paragraph. And then, Lori, at this stage, because we do have a limited amount of suggested changes, you had raised a question earlier, how will we approach the recommendation you made here? So you could either go through them in a highlight, or we can use them as printed.
It's up to you. It seems like everyone had an opportunity to read them and doesn't have suggested changes, so the record is clear because okay. We have a printout.
Yep.
And I think everybody has seen it. We
okay.
can always
so
provide additional copies if not. But
good. We're good? Yep. All right. So at this time, then we'll move away from deliberation and we will move to vote. And the vote will be for order number R3-2017-0002 with the changes as proposed and recorded. So would you please go over the changes?
Yes, those changes include the footnote and changes to Attachment A, which is the additional findings document that was provided to the board members and the public by Ms. Okun. It includes a citation to finding number 85, which we have. It includes a clarification in the monitoring and reporting programs part 2, the groundwater section, to provide clarity that about the written notification.
Okay.
Excuse me, there's one other. It's the findings 27, 28, and 30, and text edition suggested by Lori Orkin today. Everything that's up there on the screen.
Yes, in the same handout provided by Ms. Okun, yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so at this time, then, I will ask for...
And I believe, did Mr. Rose, did you mention the change that Angela Schroeder described, or did I miss that?
I did, thank you.
I must have been asleep for a minute,
yeah.
Sorry.
No problem, it's been a long day. So would you please make roll call?
We need to have the motion.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would like to do that
apologize.
Very thing. I would move to approve the conditional waiver of waste discharge requirements for discharges from irrigated lands and associated monitoring and reporting programs for Tiers 1, 2, and 3 ranches, and to incorporate the changes, revisions that were listed by staff. And as presented in a written format for all to review.
So we have a motion.
I'll second it.
We have a second. Do we have any further comments?
Just a tiny comment that the citation that was omitted in the additional finding 85 that staff mentioned they'll put in hasn't, we haven't seen it, but I mean, it's just a citation, but that's the only difference to the motion.
It hasn't been published yet.
So. It's in review.
It's in review. My understanding is it's in review, and so the citation can simply be that it's a study that is in review, and note the authors and the title.
That is what we will do.
Yes.
Thank you.
So thank you for bringing that up. So we had a motion, we had a second, and the comment of Mayor Delgado then will be included. So at this stage, I would like to make the roll call.
Dr. Wolf?
Yes.
Dr. Hunter?
Yes.
Ms. Cervantes?
Yes.
Mr. Delgado?
Yes.
Ms. Gray?
Aye.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so thank you. So the order is unanimously approved. So you may all get on your Twitter account and spread the word. So thank you very much. Sorry. I had to put a little humor in this. So at this time, Mr. Robertson?
I just had a couple of quick closing remarks as we kind of come to the close of this item that we've been working on for the last 8.5 months now. I want to thank the stakeholders and the growers for, A, embracing me in my first year as EO and offering up lots of great suggestions and taking time. I actually sat in a pickup truck with an unnamed grower and traveled up and down the Salinas, and we talked about all of the variables and the geology and soil and water and soil chemistry and just all the variables and the complexity of trying to grow. So I would thank the stakeholders for the good dialogue. The nature of this dialogue is so different from 2.0. You know, we're talking about higher order things. We're talking about how to regulate or what information we should be requesting. We're talking about meatier substances and issues. I want to thank ILRP staff. I have unmeasurable respect for the work they've done in the last 8 months. And specifically, I would say Chris Rose, Arwin, Monica, Harvey, Angela, and others. Thank you for all the work you put in. Lots of weekends, lots of late nights, emails at ridiculous hours. Thank you. Appreciate it. And I want to thank the board. Somebody said to me that had witnessed 2.0 and the process of 2.0 and 3.0. So they had the perspective to see both things and know the board in both of those. And they said, the board has never been better prepared than they are for 3.0. They have such an understanding now. And it's the time you put in, following up on the chairman's remarks, it's the time you put in to those briefings and to those technical sessions and to the individual meetings. So I really appreciate your investment of time. You're really invested, and that's a great asset to the mission. You know, I appreciate it. Thank you. All I got.
Thank you. So this was the last item for the day. We will reconvene tomorrow at 9 a.m., correct?
Correct.
And so this will end our Wednesday, March 8th, 2017, Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting, and it is currently 4:45. So thank you.